John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God bless his word. We have read two passages tonight that came, both of them, from the lips of the Savior. There was none whose heart were moved in love and compassion toward a guilty world of sinners like the Savior himself. What I would like to draw your attention to in this first passage we've read together is that the Lord Jesus is pointing out the absolute necessity of repentance. Now, for those of us who are saved, I'm sure we understand that the most of the gospel preaching that we listen to is with this end in view, that men and women may be prepared for the gospel and take it in, that repentance may be wrought in their souls. Someone has said 90% of our preaching is to try to get men and women lost, and God is able to do the rest and save them. What I would like you to notice with me tonight is the words of the Lord Jesus, lovingly, tenderly spoken in Luke chapter 13, and I trust that with deep feeling we shall look at these. Twice over in this chapter, the Lord Jesus said, I hope you'll get it, friend, in our gathering tonight. Maybe for the first time you've come under the sound of a message like this, and there may be some who have heard it many, many times. Maybe there's some in our gathering and you would like to be saved, and you wonder what the trouble is. Why I can't get saved. And you think, I've tried to trust and I've tried to believe and I've tried to do everything I know and I can't seem to get anywhere. I would like you to notice with me the words of the Lord Jesus, how important they are. He said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. There were tragedies that the Lord Jesus spoke of here. Pilate had mingled the blood of other people with their sacrifices, and they died tragically. People understood tragic deaths. There were 18 upon whom a tower in Siloam fell, and they fell under the hand of God. And the Lord Jesus said, do you think they were sinners above all other sinners? But he said, no. But I want you to know that unless you repent, you too shall perish. To perish in the scriptures, as we were noticing last night if you were here, is for a soul to take its flight out of eternity, out into eternity, and suffer forever under the mighty hand of God. And if there's anything that we do not want to happen tonight to anyone in our gathering, and that is this, that you will go out from this meeting to turn your back upon God, take your flight into eternity and perish for all eternity. That is why I would like you to notice with me this subject of repentance, and it's so necessary. What is involved in repentance? Well, the Lord Jesus said in the book of Matthew chapter 22, he gave an illustration of this very thing. He said there was a father that came to his two sons one day. And he said to his sons, son, one of them, go work today in my vineyard. And the first son said, I will not go, sir. But afterward, he repented and he went. The second son, the father said, go work today in my vineyard. He said, I go, sir. And he didn't go at all. So you can see that repentance on the behalf of the first son happened when he changed his mind. He said he wouldn't go, and he repented and went. Now, repentance in the Scripture has to do with a human will. Repentance has to do with changing your mind. Repentance has to do with taking sides with God against yourself and acknowledging that what God says and what He will do is right. And you know, this is the hardest thing for people to do, is to come and really acknowledge before God that He is right. And so repentance is absolutely necessary. And I'd like you to notice with me that this involves our mind, it involves our attitude toward God, it involves our human will. In the Scripture in Ephesians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul says, we are enemies in our mind by wicked works. You may never have done anything drastically that would call for taking you to prison. You may never have done anything that would call for people in the area pointing their finger and saying, now that person is a sinner. But you know, sin is a deep thing. It is in the very warp and woof of man. It's that which affects our mind and our attitude, and it is the stealing of our will, determining to have our own way. And it is this that God puts His finger upon. And He says, my friend, my young person in our gathering tonight, full person, unless you change your mind, you'll perish. When it comes to repentance, we must first of all recognize that there is a problem. People are going around in the world tonight as if there was no problem. Maybe you've come to the meeting tonight as if there's no difficulty between you and God. But I want to tell you, my friend, there is a problem. And the big problem is sin. Sin comes between a soul and God. God said of Israel long ago in the book of Isaiah, your iniquities have hid my face from you, and I will not hear you. Your sin is separated between you and your God. Sin has become a big problem. Men lightly look at sin today. Children lightly look at sin. Sin is breaking God's holy law. Sin is a lie. I'd like to speak simply tonight. Sin is doing that which displeases God. Immorality in life is sin. Disobedience to parents is sin. Breaking God's law is sin. And sin is the problem. And maybe you've come to this meeting tonight and you'd like to get saved, but you've never faced the problem. And that's the problem of your own sin. It goes deep, my friend. It's a whole lifetime of sin that God is dealing with. It's not just a few sins that you've done that you can remember, but it's the attitude of heart that's involved here. And the Lord Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall perish. When a person comes to repentance, they look honestly at the facts and the evidence of sin. I hope, my friend, that you look at the facts tonight. God says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You may have aimed to do right, but you've missed it. You've missed the mark, and God calls that sin. You may have gone beyond the mark, and God calls that sin. And so the facts are these, my friend, that as you have sinned, God says in His Word that sinners must be punished. And God doesn't want to punish them. But that's why hell was made. Not for the punishment of men and women, but for the punishment of angels that had fallen in their sin. But men are going there because they choose not to change their mind. It is with deep feeling the Lord Jesus said these words, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He spoke of a fig tree planted in a vineyard, a place of privilege, and there may be someone here that has been privileged to sit under the sound of the gospel for years. And God has been looking for a very precious thing, a rare thing, and that is repentance. God desires this as fruit. He delights to see it the precious fruit of repentance, a sinner changing his mind. But for 3 years, here in this parable, he's been looking for fruit and finding none. And then another year has been given, a year of grace, when in special dealings with this fig tree that speaks of individuals that God has been dealing with, he's been looking for fruit. He's been doing everything to try and produce this fruit. He's been working to try and bring a person to change their mind. But after all the effort has been expended, and there has been no change of mind, then in this parable the Lord said, cut it down. I may be looking into the faces of some tonight, and God has been dealing graciously with you. For years, he has been seeking to change your mind and your attitude toward him, waiting for you to change your mind, and yet tonight find you still in your mind at enmity with God. Mind you, this is a solemn thing, and the facts are this, my friend, that if you do not change your mind, the Lord Jesus says, you will perish. You might ask the question, who is to blame for this problem that I'm in? This problem of sin. People like to blame everybody else. They blame Adam. And they say, well, if it hadn't been that Adam sinned, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in. They blame their parents. And they say, well, if they hadn't brought me up the way I am, I wouldn't be in the mess I'm in. And they actually would like to blame God. Isn't that solemn? The God that's loved the world so much as he gave his son, and men would blame God because of the predicament they're in. Listen, my friend, I hope you'll be honest tonight and ask yourself the question, who is to blame for my sin? I hope you'll be broad enough in your shoulders to take the responsibility and just to say, well, it's certainly not God. I can't blame my parents. I can't blame my environment. I'm the one that must be to blame. In the book of Luke chapter 15, there's the story that many know of the prodigal son. And he said to his father, Father, I have sinned. You know, these are words that are very difficult for us to come by and to say, I'm the one that sinned, Lord. The problem is with me. I wonder, is there someone in our gathering tonight? And you've been bold just to take this place before God. This is what God is waiting for. He's waiting for you to really take the blame yourself. You might ask, well, what are the consequences of a person not repenting? The consequences are overpowering, my friend. There's a long eternity. There's hell at the end of this life. There's a lake of fire after the judgment day. There's all eternity for men to reflect upon a moment in their life when they chose not to change their mind. I wonder, is there some that are going to look back from eternity from a meeting like this and say, oh, if I only had listened, if I only had changed my mind, but now I'm lost forever and beyond the reach of God's mercy, and I would like to change my mind. But you know the sad thing that the scriptures tell us, that men and women that are lost forever, they'll never change their mind. Fixed to the goal of their chosen track, too late to repent. No turning back. 5 minutes after you die, my friend, you'd long to change your mind then, but God won't allow it. Tonight, he will allow you to change your mind. I hope that you'll take the only sensible course, my friend, when you think of eternity and when you think of a God that loves sinners. I hope you'll take the only sensible course. What would that be, you say? Well, when you have sinned against an individual, done someone wrong, a party personally, wouldn't it be only common courtesy to go to that individual and say, now look, I'm sorry, but I'm the one that has done the wrong. I would like to ask you, my friend, have you ever personally, in the quietness of your own home or your own bedroom, got alone with God and said, oh God, I'd like to come to you and admit I'm wrong. You see, repentance is a very real thing. A moment in a person's life that absolutely must take place. You say, is there any option? Can I get away from this? Is there any getting around this? Notice the words of the Lord Jesus. He said, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. There is no way of getting around this. I would like you to notice with me that the Lord has left upon the page of Scripture, the Bible, some case histories that have to do with repentance. There's a man in the Scripture in the book of Genesis called Cain. God allowed Cain to repent, but he stepped over the provision that the Lord had made. You remember the story, Cain had killed his brother? And now God had said, after his offering, rather, and the two boys offered their offerings to God, and Cain's offering was rejected, Abel's offering was accepted, Cain was wroth, and the Lord said to Cain, if thou doest well, wilt thou not be accepted? But if not, the sin offering is actually crouching at the door, Cain, and you could actually go out there and take a hold of that offering and bring him to me, and I will accept you. But Cain stepped over that offering, and he refused to repent. And the man went out and killed his brother. And the last words that we read of Cain's awful cry is this: my punishment is greater than I can bear. What happened? Cain actually refused to repent. And his sad end, a lot of pain, he perished in his sin. We read of the men that lived before the flood. We all know that there was a time when God came in judgment upon this world. Have you ever wondered, what about the people that lived before the flood? Surely there must have been something, some way that they could have been saved. Well, we read in the book of Job, chapter 22, about the men that lived before the flood. They said to God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy way. And this is the comment of the Holy Scripture. And what can God do for them? Here were men that lived their ungodly life. There was a time when God approached them. There was a lone preacher by the name of Noah. He was a preacher of righteousness. And at that time, God gave a message, and his righteous standard was uplifted. But these men said, depart from us. They refused to repent and change their minds. And you say, well, surely God could have done something for them. Surely he could have saved them. Why did the flood have to come? Listen to what the Scripture says. And what could God do for them? My friend, I speak reverently when I say that God himself could not save them because they refused to change their mind. This is so solemn when I think of it. There are men that perished in the flood, and had they changed their mind, there would have been salvation for them. But they refused to change their mind. I wonder if there's someone in our gathering tonight, and you absolutely have been so hardened and steeled yourself against God that you refuse to change your mind. Take a lesson and change your mind tonight, my friend, before you die in your sins and are lost forever. There's a man by the name of Pharaoh. Pharaoh resisted the mighty will of God. You remember Moses went in often, and he said to Pharaoh, Pharaoh, let my people go. God says that they may serve me. But Pharaoh would not. Time after time, but he wouldn't change his mind until finally God took him at his word, and he hardened his heart because Pharaoh had hardened his heart against God. And he was sick, and on he went toward the judgment, and there's a Pharaoh that the records in Egypt have never found, and his tomb was never found. It's at the bottom of the sea where God's judgment came upon him, a man that refused to repent, and he perished in his sin. I think of what the Scripture says about a man called Korah. One day Korah and his men stood in oath against the men of God outside the tabernacle of the Lord. Moses said to Korah and his company, come up and stand before the Lord, and we'll see what the Lord has to say about what you've been saying about wanting to be the leaders in Israel. Korah said, we will not come up. A man who refused to change his mind. And here Moses stood back and he said, oh God, If these men die the common lot of all men, but God opened the mouth of the earth that day, and those men were swallowed up alive into the very bowels of the earth. They refused to change their mind, and there was nothing else but God's judgment. Listen to these words. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. I think of Israel in the book of Numbers chapter 14. After they had gone and refused to go into the land, here's two godly men, Joshua and Caleb, and they're trying to change the mind of the people that have refused to take God at His word and go in and possess that land of promise. And these men are saying, why don't you go? Why don't you change your mind? Why don't you look at what the good land is? But they actually took up stones to stone them, and they said, we're going to go back to Egypt, and they actually refused to change their mind. You know what happened to them? Died on the desert sand. The next day they wanted to go, but it was too late then. I think of some in our gathering tonight, and you may not think that this is the time for you to change your mind. You think I'm going to change my mind tomorrow. But you know, tomorrow may be too late for you. There have been those who sat in gospel meetings just like this, and they went out with a purpose to return again and to change their mind at some later time. But God's time was then. He says, today, if ye harden not your heart, today is the great time when God is dealing with men. I hope you won't turn your back upon God's mighty invitation to repent. I think of a lone preacher. His name was Jonah. He went to preach to a city of 120,000. He had one message. 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. He preached it for 3 days journey in and out that city. And the king heard the message. The people heard the message. And you know what the Bible says? The people of Nineveh believed God. My, this would be a great thing if some in our gathering tonight believe God about what's coming. What an awful judgment is coming upon the scene. And God has said it. I hope you won't believe the preacher. I hope you'll believe God. Here's what God says, my friends. There's wrath coming. And the men of Nineveh believed God. They put sackcloth upon their clothes, the king upon his throne, and everyone down through the realm. And the king said to the people, cry mightily to God. It'll turn away His wrath from us. And God heard. He saw what happened. And God actually changed His mind. And He repented Him of the evil that He was going to do, and He did it not. Isn't that a wonderful thing? A preacher with a lone message. And they listened, and they believed God. What an important thing it is, my friend, for you to come to true repentance. I think of another case history in the book of Numbers chapter 25. Israel had sinned against God in their murmurings. God sent in these serpents among the people, and because of what they had done, they had bitten the people, and many people of Israel were dying. And the people came to Moses, and they said, Moses, we have sinned. Pray unto God for us. Moses went to God. The Lord came back with His message. Moses, take a serpent, lift it up on a pole, and this is the message. The serpent of brass. Whoever looks to that serpent of brass, they'll live. And it came to pass that as the serpent had bitten any man, when he looked at that serpent of brass, he lived. I'm thrilled as I think of it tonight that God has linked two things together in the Scripture. And it is repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And here's a wonderful illustration of it. When these people came to true repentance, when they said to Moses, we have sinned, it was then that God showed the great provision and pointed them away to something that was lifted up upon a pole that reminded them of their own sin. And when they looked, they lived. I would like to tell you, my friend, tonight, of God's great provision for men and women that have come to true repentance. And maybe there's some in our gathering tonight, and you would like to come to true repentance. You'd like to take sides with God against yourself. And this is what God has for you, my friend. The wonders of the gospel, to think that the Lord Jesus came all the way from heaven and came down to die upon a cross, lifted up upon the tree outside Jerusalem's gate, there with crown, thorn, brow,
and nail-pierced hands upon that tree, the blessed Savior died in order that he might take your sins and bear them all away. And God would point you to that lovely sight tonight, and he would say, look, dear sinner, look at what I've done. I gave my son to pay the great price of your sin. And if you'll only as a poor lost sinner come to the Lord Jesus in true repentance, you'll live. What a wonderful thing it is to know the truth of repentance. I wonder, my friend, are you going to turn to the Lord Jesus tonight? When you say, I don't like the preaching of repentance. Well, I want to tell you, my friend, if there was the prince of preachers upon this platform that the Lord Jesus spoke of, a man by the name of John the Baptist, you know what he would preach? If he could stand here tonight, the burden of his message was, repent. And when he preached it, he preached that repentance must be real. When men and women listened to him preach, they said, now what will we do? Then the soldiers came and they said, what will we do? And in each case, John says, make it real. There's an attitude behind repentance. We're living in a day tonight, today, when repentance is not preached. When men and women are not faced with their sin. And oftentimes people can say glibly from their lips, I have sinned, and not really mean it, in a change of their attitude toward God. John preached it. The blessed Savior himself preached it. We're reading it tonight. When he preached, this is what the Bible says about the Lord Jesus. He preached that men should repent. Why, the blessed Savior, whose heart burned for the souls of men, why didn't he tell them, now look, I'm going to go to the cross, I'm going to die upon the cross of Calvary, just take me as your Savior? Because he knew this, there was one thing that must happen in their souls, and that was repentance. And without it, there would be no salvation. If the Apostle Paul stood upon this platform tonight, he would preach the very same thing. For in his day he preached it, repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. He preached it with might and main. There was a reason, Paul said, why men should repent. There's a day that's coming in the which God will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. That man is the Lord Jesus. Paul says, except you repent, you perish. It's the command of God, Paul says. You must repent. God has commanded all men everywhere to repent. Because God has given his son, and he died upon the cross to save them. And salvation is open. He died and was raised again from the dead by the glory of God. And he's standing with open stretched arms tonight and he says, come. But if you won't change your mind, my friend, you'll face him. And the day that's coming, how solemn to think of the possibility of someone leaving our gathering tonight. And you could be saved very simply by changing your mind and your attitude and coming as a poor lost sinner to the Lord Jesus. What is keeping you from getting saved tonight? It is not that you've never heard the message. Some of you have heard it from your earliest. It's because you've never come to true grips with this solemn fact. I must change my mind. I remember sitting in a gospel meeting the night that God saved me. I had tried to get saved so many times before, but sitting listening to the preaching that night, the burden of the message, the coming again of our Lord, and what would happen after he would come, and the terrible catastrophe that would help fall upon this scene, and the judgment of God that was going to fall. By listening to that, solemnly into my soul went the word of God. And as I sat there upon my seat, I changed my mind and my attitude toward God. And I want to tell you, my friends, that was the night God saved me. I'm looking to some tonight on this side, some in our middle, and some here. And you've never changed your mind yet to face the realities of sin, of judgment, and what's to come. My friend, if you don't change your mind, you'll perish. It is with a heart of compassion we'd like to warn you tonight, tenderly, that this is what the Lord Jesus said, is the absolute necessity. Except you repent, you'll perish. You know what God has put in the way of perishing sinners? That he might give them a good long look at what he's provided. John chapter 3 and verse 16 tells us,
the reason why man need not perish. For God so loved the world. Listen, my friend, you may have never heard this message before, but God loved you. He loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son to a shameful death upon Calvary. Upon that cross, the Lord Jesus died in order that he might put your sins away. And this is what God says, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Read that verse, my friend. Should not perish. There may be someone in our gathering tonight and you're saying, well, this is what I'm afraid of. I'm going to perish. I'm afraid of going to hell. I don't want to be there. Look what God has said. Should not perish. I remember one day sitting with a young man with the Word of God. Beside him reading this verse many times. God has used this. He read through this verse. He read about the love of God, God giving his son, and this is what he read, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. And he looked at the verse again, and he put his finger upon the word, should not perish. And I can still see the expression in that young man's face. And he put his finger on it and he said, God says it, I'll never perish. God says it, I'll never perish. I wonder, my friend, have you ever got God's word for it? That you'll never perish. All the wonders of God in the gospel. He gave his son to die for you, that you might not perish. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting.